Hey kids, what's happening? Welcome to the How to Be Awesome podcast. This is episode 48. Louise, how the heck are you?
I am alive and well, despite the series of unfortunate events that befell me earlier today. Within the space of like an hour, my handbag broke.
Oh no.
I fell flat on my face. And then I was supposed to be taking a colleague with me to another school. And partway to the school, I had to pull over to let her know that we were actually going to be an hour early if we left at that point in time. And by that point, I was like, sure, obviously. Like, this is just obviously what's happening today. So, yep, it's a good thing that it's a beautiful sunny day and I was in a good mood, or else that would have completely melted me.
I was in the world's boringest meeting when you came back to the school, so you didn't get to tell me all your horror stories until just now. I'm glad you saved it for the podcast.
Yep, everyone can hear the awful luck that I have had today. They know me well enough by now to know that these are the sorts of things that happen to me in my daily life. How are you, Renee?
I'm okay. I have a stupid headache, potentially brought on by the world's boringest meeting, but once again I'm going to pretend to be coherent for the next hour.
That's what we do, guys. That's our talent. I'm going to put it on my CV.
Fake it till you make it.
Absolutely.
What else is happening?
So we have an exciting episode for you guys today because we have a very special guest with us. So we have Rebecca Brain, like the organ, from Tempo de Luna Vegan Skincare. Rebecca, how are you?
Hello, I am good, thank you. What an introduction.
Yep. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. Honestly, when you first got in touch about this episode, I was so excited. And I've been so excited since. So honestly, I'm so grateful that you guys got me on to chat about this today.
I feel like maybe she hasn't listened to this podcast before.
I was just going to say, I'm always so glad when I like randomly cold call message people and be like, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? Because everyone so far, I'm always like, totally fine if you don't want to. Like, I totally understand. It's a shit show. Don't come on. And then when people are like super excited to come on again, I'm like, have you listened to this podcast?
Are you sure?
So Rebecca, tell us a bit about yourself and what makes you awesome.
Oh, that's a great question. So I am Rebecca Brain, like the organ, as you said. and I'm the owner and founder of Tempo de Luna. I would like to say that in itself makes me awesome, but I think kind of more about the kind of journey itself is the kind of awesome part. But yeah, a bit about myself. I always get dead awkward with these questions because really it is just me and Tempo de Luna and my family and my husband, and I go to work also. I have my friends, and that's really all I do.
Sounds like a lot.
Well, it is. It's quite a busy time, I'll be honest, but it does keep me on my toes, so I do like it. But yeah, I mean, a bit about myself. I'm obviously interested in skincare, and I love nature and things, all spiritual things really, to be honest. Like we were chatting about kind of previously, like crystals, meditation, that sort of thing. And I'm quite a curious person. I would say that is what makes me awesome. My curiosity is definitely my most the most exciting thing that I like about myself. Yeah, I just have so many curiosities about so many different things. Like my brain is a really strange place to be, but it's great. It's a good place, but it's just a bit wacky. And yeah, I would say that's probably the most awesome thing is my curiosity.
Amazing. This is a totally random question that's not on the list, and we can cut this out if you want. Do you identify as a witch? Or would you say you're just more spiritual? Oh, you do. Excellent.
I do identify as a witch. Yeah, I definitely do.
Welcome to our coven.
Yes.
You're officially in now. We have a lot of guests on who are like, you know, into spirituality or different kind of facets of spirituality, but not, I don't think any of them apart from us have ever actually identified as a witch. So
yeah, then I have to try and explain to them how you might as well just join the club because you're already doing witchcraft.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we always start the podcast by talking about delicious food. Renee, what are you eating/cooking this week?
I have not been eating anything particularly exciting because I'm still like in hangover mode from my trip. But I did post something really delicious on the blog this week. I made jalapeno cream cheese burgers.
Okay. I'm confused by that statement. Tell me more about this jalapeno cream cheeseburger.
So you get some cream cheese, some jalapenos. I can't remember if there's some other seasonings that go into the cream cheese or not. I don't think there is. I chop up my jalapenos in the food processor and then mix the cream cheese with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make up your burger patties. They're kind of a little bit like Southwest flavory. There's some cumin, some cayenne in there. And then you make two thin burger patties. You put some of the jalapeno cream cheese in the center of one and then put the other one on top. So it's kind of like a pocket of jalapeno cream cheese inside.
Nice. See, that's where my confusion came. When I saw jalapeno cream cheese burgers, I was like, is the burger made of the jalapeno cream cheese?
No, it's stuffed with jalapeno cream cheese.
Ah, so do you like squish the edges of the burger down?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then when you cook it up, the cream cheese gets kind of melty inside. And then obviously you're going to put more cheese on top because why not?
Obviously.
Your favorite topping, some more fresh jalapeno if you like punch of jalapeno. I don't. I like just a little bit of jalapeno inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too spicy. It's got just a little bit of a kick to it, but it's like super juicy.
That sounds amazing.
Sounds so good.
What are you eating this week, Louise?
So I have not been eating at home very often recently. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've been really, really busy the last week. So we ate out like, I think, 4 days in a row last week. And I got to the point where I was like, Rebecca will know this because we grew up in the same area. We have very limited takeaway options. We've talked about this on the podcast. If you don't want to eat Indian takeaway food all the time, you're very, very limited. But I remembered that in a town close by to us called Kirkintilloch, there's a Japanese restaurant called Nigiri.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't been there. And I was like, let's go to Nigiri and get some food. So my husband got the spicy udon ramen with beef, I think it was. And I got the sushi, the mixed sushi platter, the mixed seafood platter, which was really, really nice. We also got some pork gyozas and some prawn tempura as well. So it was all really, really nice. The gyozas were some of the best gyozas I've ever had, actually. The sushi was lovely, really, really fresh. The only issue that my husband had, and this would not have been an issue for me, was that his spicy broth was not spicy enough. I don't like spicy food, so I don't care. But he wanted it a bit spicier than it came. But apart from that, the food was really, really delicious.
Were there no like spicy condiments like chili oil or something like that he could have added?
No, I think the actual broth itself was supposed to be the spicy element. Mm-hmm. And then there was like chilies in the... So they... I actually thought it was really good. They gave you like the noodles and the like veg and stuff like that in one bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the broth was separate, which I've had ramen from other places sometimes, and it gets all a little bit kind of soggy if it's all been in the one bowl. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. So there was chilies in it, but I think he literally wants things that burn his insides.
He's just going to have to bring his own sriracha next time.
That's what my husband
said. He got halfway through his ramen and I was like, why don't you just add sriracha? And he was like, oh, I don't know. Because we always have sriracha in the house. He puts on everything.
Oh, were you eating it at home?
Yeah, we brought it home, so we didn't actually sit. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. Like, they do sit in, so you can sit in. They have a really nice beer garden as well, but they also do takeaway. So we brought it home and ate it at home. So I was like, you could just put sriracha in it, but he was already halfway through it and couldn't be arsed at that point getting up to get sriracha. So, yep, I would recommend Nigiri if you like Japanese food. Go and give it a shot.
Nice. Rebecca, how about you? Have you eaten anything awesome this week?
To be honest, in comparison to you guys, mine's is going to sound really boring.
I spoke about chicken nuggets on this podcast once, so don't worry about your food choice then. Being boring.
I mean, at least just in comparison to today's episode, like, I really need to check out that Japanese place. It sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing on a heads up the spice, though, because my husband's exactly the same. Like, he needs it to burn his entire mouth off his face and then he'll be satisfied. So I'm like you, I can tolerate heat, but not to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're going to need to try that. Do they deliver out here or do you have to collect?
You would have to collect it. They don't deliver as far out as us. So you would need to collect it. You can get them on Just Eat and order through Just Eat, but you need to like go and pick it up.
Go get it. Maybe a date night. Thank you for that.
No wallet.
So yeah, my kind of less exciting is I had feta salad this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I chose this one is because I can't really enjoy a salad in the winter. I don't know if you guys get that, but winter and autumn are for like warm, cozy foods.
Mm-hmm. Give me
not
all the
eating
soup.
Salad. Yeah, soup and like just all the nice things, pies mm-hmm. and like big home cooked meals. And it's not that you can't make a salad at home, obviously you do, but mm-hmm. it's a spring and a summer thing. So yeah. We had like the first one of the year. And it was quite an event. I really enjoyed it. It was lovely.
What did you have in your feta salad? What else was it other than feta?
So we had feta with tomato and cucumber. Mm-hmm. I think we also had red onion in it, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. And lots of balsamic vinegar, of course, because it needs to be balsamic mm-hmm. and olive oil. And then we actually had some chips and then we had some like coleslaw and potato. Well, I had to ease myself into the summer foods. Half and half, you know. But we also had potato salad and coleslaw, and I was excited because I had two types of potato on my plate. What
yeah.
a day.
Yeah.
You know. So.
What an event.
Exactly. The more potato I can get on my plate, the better. So, or the more variety.
I always like potato salad because it's got the word salad in it. Although it's just potatoes and mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah.
It makes me feel better about eating it because it says it's
it
a salad.
It gives the right idea. Yeah.
It's tried its best. 10 out of 10 for effort from the potato salad.
Plus, usually there's chive in potato salad. So yep. There's your veg.
Sometimes there's celery and I pick that out.
What?
Someone put celery. Who put celery in potato salad? No,
Rebecca and Maniacs. I are absolutely offended by the celery.
Where does that happen?
Yeah, I was going to say
maybe it's an American thing.
If that's anyone I know, they're excommunicated from my life.
Celery and celery. Potato salad.
No.
Well, now that we've nourished our bodies on the inside, we can talk about nourishing our skin mm-hmm. on the outside. So this episode is titled I'm Uncomfortable with My Wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
So as the old lady of the group, I'm here to ask both of you who, you know, Louise knows way more about skincare than I do. And Rebecca, you have a skincare business.
It's like a hierarchy of skincare knowledge at this point. Rebecca's at the top, then it's me, and then it's you.
I'm definitely way, way, way at the bottom. I want to take better care of my skin. I need to take better care of my skin. I'm 43. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see that I am not a young maiden anymore. Though everybody is always really lovely about like, oh, you don't look that old. Thank you very much. That is very nice of you to say. You're just not looking close enough. So I need help. But also, I want to talk about like how we can sort of embrace the changes that time brings to our body and to our skin and to our appearance.
Yeah, we actually thought about doing this podcast episode now because I am a few weeks away from turning the big 3-0. A big milestone birthday coming up in my life. So it's actually been on our list for a little while to talk about, but we were like, oh, this would be a good time to talk about it now.
It kept coming in second place on the polls for which episode the audience wanted to pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. People are intrigued by the skincare.
I think it's something that a lot of women, well, and not just women, but our audience has a lot of women in it. But
mm-hmm.
you know, there's so many expectations around the way that we are, quote, supposed to look. And now not only are pictures of you available on the internet all day, every day, but there's also like filters that you have to choose. And, you know, people wear so much makeup these days so that they can be camera ready 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are you allowed to have wrinkles and still be socially acceptable? Like, It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. And I think there's so many complex issues with it because there's so many areas that it stems from. Mm-hmm. Like it's so ingrained in so many aspects of just everyday culture. You know, if you look at the beauty industry, for example, that entire industry is built off of creating insecurities,
mm-hmm.
creating and continuing to drive insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become what we kind of want to become. They become mm-hmm. like the kind of goal. And then obviously it's further complicated by social media. As you say, we have the filters, how easy it is now to kind of edit and Photoshop and airbrush your pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make yourself look like an entirely different person. And nobody knows the difference. We're getting better at seeing the difference now, but it's how many years of conditioning have we went through and how much has come in subconsciously that it's going to take a lot of conscious work to undo it, you know, because it's so ingrained everywhere.
Absolutely. Even if you think about like the types of gifts that you might buy a little girl, like maybe like 7 or 8, it's little makeup sets and little nail polish sets, and like how many little girls are getting like science sets and, you know, whatever other interesting things like cars or anything like that. A lot of the stuff that we gift even young girls is related to beauty. They see their mums putting on their makeup and their creams in the morning and they want to put their makeup and their creams on, and it is just like brought into you from such a young age.
Absolutely. And it's not only that, is it, it's introduced so early, but it is just reinforced consistently through every aspect of a woman's life. So you have that from being kind of, as you say, about 7 or 8, being younger and seeing your mum in her own routine, and you want to kind of emulate and copy that. And it's probably a fun kind of mother bonding thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, because I know lots of mums that kind of play makeup and things like that. I don't think these young girls shouldn't have them, but it is just a very kind of, it's just such a direction they're being put in, where it's like, think about your appearance, you have to look a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way. And then social media, obviously kids that are literally kids up until they're kind of like 16-17 are exposed to so much on social media, and it's so damaging. You know, they don't have the ability to tell what's a filter and what's not a filter.
And not even filters, and like you talked about photoshopping and airbrushing and things like that, but also like, you know, you don't realize when you're looking at your favorite celebrity on the red carpet, you know, there are women in their 20s getting Botox now. You know, they have hair extensions, they have you know, lifts and tucks and silicone all over their bodies potentially, you know. So what is real, you know, it's really, really hard to tease that out, even without the sort of digital enhancements that happen to a photo after the fact.
Absolutely. And there's a whole team behind the celebrities for that red carpet event that made them look that way. Then there's the distance from the camera, there's so much involved. It is a show, do you know, all of that.
Absolutely. And then you're thinking about all these, you know, women who are, you know, you look at J-Lo, for example, who's what, in her 50s now? J-Lo looks better than I did when I was 18.
Yeah.
Like, at 50. I will never like J-Lo.
J-Lo has a personal trainer.
Well, that's
it. J-Lo has a personal chef. J-Lo can hire a nutritionist. J-Lo has, you know, somebody else picking out all of her clothes for her. We don't know what's going, you know, into her face. Maybe there's nothing, maybe it's just good food and supplements and things like that, but you know, she has the resources to you know, focus on her beauty. She has a little bit more choice than, you know, people in our income bracket of, you know, when she wants to be stressed out and when she doesn't.
And that's it. And like you say, you know, when you're not, and I'm not saying that celebrities don't work hard, because that's not true, but like, it's a different type of work. And like you say, you've got people to support that. So when I have been working, you know, you were just saying, Rebecca, before we came on, that you were off the back of, you know, 6 days straight at work. Like, so if you're finishing your work at the end of the week and you're thinking, God, the bags under my eyes are massive, like, what can you do? Like, put a slice of cucumber on them, maybe try and like get rid of those bags. Like, I like the amount of times, and I think somebody commented this in our ICOA chat, that was like, oh, you don't need fancy skincare, all you need to get is enough sleep, drink enough water, eat the right food, do lots of exercise, do all this, and you're like, and as that person said, like, yeah, right, who's got like normal people who don't
let
have
me just
time?
Schedule that in the diary
into the like not enough hours in the day that we already have to then add. I absolutely hate that, when you're just like, how can I make my skin better? And they're like, do all these things. And you're like, well, I can't. Give me a potion for my face.
And I do get that. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm always like, especially with Tempo de Luna, I'm always an advocate for saying that skincare products are not the be all and end all of skincare, and it, more importantly, skin health, because for me, that's the goal here, is having healthy skin and having skin that is working as it's built to, you know. So yeah, when it comes down to it, with your like skincare and adding all your different elements in there, yes, they all matter and they are all so important, but it's like keeping plates spinning. Mm-hmm. Like you say, you know, it's like it's trying to fit it in. So I find that so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I just try and let myself be good at little bits here mm-hmm. and there. So like I'll try and be very conscious about what I'm eating. My problem is I have a sweet tooth and I do eat a lot of rubbish. So I do try and make a bit more conscious choices about like kind of fruits and veg and things that I'll snack mm-hmm. on maybe throughout the day. And some weeks I'm really good at my water intake and some weeks I'm rubbish at it. And I'll be very honest, some days I get, or some months I'll do skincare, maybe not 30 days in a row, but I don't manage to get my skincare done 2 times a day, every single day of the month, mm-hmm. you know, because it's the same as anything, it's consistency, and we're human, we're allowed to, mm-hmm. we can't be perfect, we can't do it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question, and happy for both of you to answer this, because as I said, I don't know anything about skincare. How many steps do you have in your like daily skincare routine? What is the minimum amount of steps that I can get away with?
Okay.
That was 2 questions. Sorry.
See, I've stripped my skincare back a lot recently because I know, like, Renee, you know me, I used to mm-hmm. have like the fucking 10 step skincare routine, like lotions and potions and mists and all that kind of stuff. But I've really stripped it back. I think just now, because I wash my face, and if I'm wearing makeup and SPF like I am today, I always double cleanse. So I use a cleanser to take the makeup off, like the remove the topsoil from my face, and then what a cleanser to actually cleanse my skin. And then I usually use like a toner, but I put it in a wee spray bottle and spritz it on my face. I do like a hyaluronic acid that holds like, is it like 1,000 times its own weight in water or something like that? So I like to do a moisture sandwich. So I spritz my face with the toner, I put the hyaluronic acid on, and then I spritz more on top.
Love it.
And then I usually just use like a moisturizer. If it's the winter time, I sometimes add a little bit of like a moisturizing oil into my moisturizer. But in the summertime, I don't like need it. So that during the day, I use a vitamin C serum in the morning. But that's so what's that, like wash, toner, hyaluronic acid, vitamin C serum, moisturizer, and then SPF. You should always be wearing SPF on your face. So what, that's six maximum in the morning, and then maybe 4 or 5 at night. You definitely don't need the hyaluronic acid though. I just love hyaluronic acid.
It's a good ingredient. The moisture benefits from hyaluronic acid are gorgeous.
I sometimes feel, and you might disagree with me on this, I sometimes feel that like making sure your skin has enough moisture in it is like the first step. Like you can do your vitamin C's and your retinols and your acids till the cows come home. If your skin doesn't have enough moisture in it, if your skin is dehydrated, mm-hmm. that stuff's never going to be as effective. So you need to, like, I would say for me, your basic steps is to make sure that you're getting that moisture in.
100%. And I would agree with you, because a lot of people, and it goes back to what you were saying about people talking about drinking enough water and your mm-hmm. diet and these sort of things. There's obviously been so much research done on how water and the human body live together or mm-hmm. kind of exist symbiotically. But there's not really a lot of research that suggests that your intake of water has a huge impact on like the moisture levels in your skin and mm-hmm. how your skin kind of uses that moisture. Obviously it'll have some benefit, but you could, drinking more water doesn't really have much of an impact on your skincare. But it's absolutely what you're saying, it's about what moisture you put onto your skin. Mm-hmm. And that's why like water, or not necessarily water-based, but ingredients or products that have water in them do have a place in skincare. Mm-hmm. And definitely have a place in a skincare routine. I see a lot of companies that do like only kind of oil-based products or like anhydrous products, which basically mean they don't have any water in them. Mm-hmm. And they'll kind of talk about waterless products as though they're like bad, or like they've got like the water is just a filler, but it actually plays such a key part in mm-hmm. your skin's health. So you're spot on with that. Yeah, absolutely.
What is your current routine, Renee?
I mean, it varies. It depends on what I get sent in my Birchbox.
Because I remember you saying to me the other week, you were like, do I need a serum?
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is serum? Do I need it? Should I be spending money on this?
Somebody that was in the same room with us at the time was like, get this serum, get this one, it's amazing. Aww. And I was like, hold the phone. What do you want from your serum. Like, you need to know, because you get so many, like that vitamin C serum that I use, that is a serum. But if you're not looking for the benefits of a vitamin C serum, there's no point buying. That I could recommend it to you and say it's helped me, it's been great. But actually, if you're not looking for a vitamin C serum and the effects of that, it's not going to be useful to you.
See, this is the thing. I don't know. I want to not look so tired.
Okay.
And I want to not look so old. But I also don't want to do the research to find out, other than getting enough sleep, what will help with that. And so this is one of the questions that I wrote in the outline. Is like, you know, you mentioned before, Rebecca, like beauty is an industry. And there's so much consumerism around it. Am I just being tricked into buying things that I don't really need, by, you know, being made to feel insecure by the beauty industry so that I'll spend more money? Or are these things really going to help me look less tired and less old?
Yeah. And I'm actually really glad that it's kind of naturally came at this point, because everything that Louise was saying before is actually kind of the notes that I had taken of how I feel about these kind of certain things. And it is absolutely what Louise was saying about what your skin needs. So everybody's skin needs moisture, so there should always be some form of kind of water ingredient in there. Some people can get away with just, like, when you cleanse, not drying your face and adding like the oil or your moisturizer or whatever your next step is. Some people get away with just that and don't necessarily have a toner, but it is really specific to what you want. But in this day and age, I absolutely do think that like the 12-step skincare routine is being pushed. And it's, I don't know if I want to say it's an agenda, but it's kind of starting to feel like a bit of an agenda. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas, I mean, 12-step skincare sounds not only time consuming, but very expensive.
Well, there's that, and there's the kind of overwhelming impact that can have on your skin as well, especially depending on the products that are in that 12 steps. And a lot of it is kind of facilitated by social media, because you see a lot of celebrities sharing their however many step skincare routine. I actually seen someone do a video about another celebrity who had like a 57 step night where they done like 57 steps in their skincare routine. And I was like, skincare is my life, and that would put me to sleep.
I was going to say, it's one of the steps, getting your little removable pad out of the bag. Like,
I don't know.
If I count like running my flannel under the water, that adds another
like
step.
Walking up to the bathroom to do it. Like,
opening the
so.
Door. Like,
no idea, but like, you wouldn't catch me putting 57 different things on my face in one night. No chance.
It doesn't seem like your body could absorb all that.
And there's no way your skin is able to process all of that. And because I doubt they're spending like 3-4 hours letting absolutely everything absorb fully.
Yeah.
So it's just the way the world is. It's just a trend that people are doing, and unfortunately people do continue it.
I think the worry for me is, and I've had conversations with friends about this, is like, I follow a lot of like skincare like experts, you know, people who are dermatologists. I don't know if you follow like Caroline Hirons, who is she's like the queen of skincare. She's very much like,
have you read her book?
I haven't read her book. It's on my list to get it. But she is like a qualified esthetician, and she is not somebody who will say you need to go out and buy this £70 cream. She does like kind of budget things. She does really good like how to keep your routine to a minimum, what to do. Like, she's very good at saying, do not put this product on your face if you're under 25. Like, you do not need this product at this time. But I know a lot of people who don't, like that you were saying, you don't want to do the research, Renee. They don't do the research and they buy, like, I know somebody whose face really badly broke out because they bought this really strong retinol cream because they'd heard that retinol is good for wrinkles, which it absolutely is. But you don't start with the highest dosage of retinol, and they were slapping it on their face every single night. And I was like,
it's so common.
You're not supposed to, or even like really strong acids, like you use acids for exfoliation and you build up, use it once a week. And then after a few weeks, you use it twice a week, and then if your skin needs more, you can use it more than that. But so many people are just going straight in with an acid all over their face morning and night, because the bottle says you can use it morning and night. So they use it morning and night, and then they wonder why their skin is so unhappy with them. And it's because, as you say, Rebecca, they've bombarded their skin with stuff without having like done their research. And again, I don't necessarily want to blame those individuals, because like you say, you watch an influencer do this 10-step routine and they say, this product is great for this type of skin. I've got that type of skin. I'm just going to go out and buy it. It's not like a new lipstick. Like, I really like that shade. I'm going to put it on. It has, you know, a different interaction. Like impact. Yeah, a different impact. Absolutely. On you.
And it's not just a case, as you say, with lipstick, you can wipe that off, don't like the shade, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is literally the barrier to your entire body we're talking about here, you know?
Yeah, the biggest organ in the body is
exactly,
the skin.
Like, yep.
And you're like, I'm going to cover it in acid 3 times a day.
Exactly. And like the skin naturally sits at an acidic pH. Mm-hmm. So the skin sits quite comfortably from kind of 4.5 to 5.5. But then if you're bringing in a product that's like, obviously these products go through pH testing, that's especially with acids, that's a really important aspect of that product. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you're going in then with a product that is like such a high percentage of these things, you are literally just damaging your skin barrier at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long journey back, you know.
Yeah, without knowing how to, like, because you could use acids and then use products after to kind of bring your skin back, you know, get the benefit of the acid in terms of the exfoliation and then bring your skin back down to its pH level. But if you don't know what that next step is to do to make sure, like you're saying, you're repairing that barrier, you're just, and it's almost like kind of like, you know, when you get a scab and you keep picking at it, like every, if you keep doing this every day, you're just going to make it worse. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that a lot of people have questions about is, you know, what is a natural product, right? So your mm-hmm. Temple de Luna is natural, vegan, and cruelty-free. Mm-hmm. And I 100% believe that your products are actually natural, but a lot of people are using that term natural, and then maybe just like there was a plant in the room where they were making
it. Yeah.
They like put a drop of lavender oil in something that is going to like kill all the fish in the sea.
Yeah.
And they called it natural.
Well, it's a really good question, because there's quite a deep answer to it, because natural in itself is not, it's not actually a regulated term.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the term that I use, because the products that I use are derived from natural sources, or so by derived, so for example, the cleanser that I have, it's a powdered cleanser. It's so fun to use, right? So it's like foamy when you add water to it. Mm-hmm. And that's because of like a coconut derived ingredient. So it is a natural ingredient, but I didn't obviously just pick up a coconut and shake it in a bowl and
squeeze
and use it. You know, every ingredient goes through some form of processing.
Mm-hmm.
From the, you can't pluck in, well, some things you can pluck out the ground and kind of make skincare with, I guess. But in terms of sourcing ingredients, like a company would do, nothing comes straight out of the ground. There's a form of processing somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why natural can be quite a difficult kind of term in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of brands now do jump on that bandwagon, because you'll see in the small print, there's like a little asterisk and it says 98% natural, or made from 6-8% natural ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does just really overcomplicate things. And then you have the whole debate of which is best, natural or not natural. Mm-hmm. And then you get people saying about products being chemical free. And it's like, well, water is also a chemical, so mm-hmm. that's complicated.
Right. Everything's a chemical. Some chemicals are good for you. Some chemicals, like, I can never remember how to say this properly, phthalates, that are like messing with people's testosterone.
Yeah.
Like some chemicals mm-hmm. are legitimately harmful, but mm-hmm. some are really good for you.
Yeah. And I think with that, there's a lot of scaremongering in the mm-hmm. beauty community around chemicals and a lot of these things. And actually it depends on what's in the formula at the end mm-hmm. of the day. It's the same as salt. If you eat enough salt, you're going to have sodium poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
If you drink too much water, you can have water poisoning. Mm-hmm. I've only learned this like in the last few years, mm-hmm. but you can drink too much water.
I mean, I think it's pretty hard to do, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything's dangerous to some degree. Mm-hmm. It's just how it's used. You mm-hmm. know, there's no better. Natural skincare has its benefits and non-natural skincare has its benefits, you know?
I think the issue that I have with it is that when we were talking about like consumerism earlier, it's the using the natural branding, as it were, mm-hmm. to try and get people to spend money. Like our, as you were saying, our product is better than theirs because, so you should throw out all of your existing products and buy our natural, organic, GMO.
Throw out all the stuff you already have to buy something that is, quote, better for the environment. Mm-hmm. Throwing out all of your old stuff is terrible for the environment. Please don't do that.
I was just going to say, I think that's like especially for people that are so kind of aware of that sort of thing as well. And I think it's a really positive thing where it comes down to looking at the brand's ethos, because that's mm-hmm. essentially what we're kind of chatting about here, because that's effectively greenwashing. It's making it look as if you're this really eco-friendly, like amazing company, but you're not maybe encouraging the right things within mm-hmm. your consumers. And mm-hmm. as a brand, you have such a responsibility for your consumers to be honest with them and to be transparent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's where like the 12-step skincare routine comes in. Having all these things kind of thrown at you is just to get you to buy more of it. Or if it's things like when it comes down to like trying to get you to use like products and using their own products, it's things that they want you to just keep buying more and more. So mm-hmm. they want you to use generous amounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's also, I'd see like what I like about your brand, and I know your brand is still growing, is that mm-hmm. your items are very carefully curated, as it were. Like you come up yeah. with items that you use yourself, you test them out personally, you give them, you know, to friends and family to test, and you mm-hmm. think, what would complement this line? I've noticed some like small indie brands who have grown over time, and they start out with a really good basic line of, you know, a cleanser, a hyaluronic acid, maybe an oil, a moisturizer, and then all of a sudden they've got three different types of vitamin C serum and four different acids, and like it just, and because they're almost like a trusted brand, mm-hmm. people get that, I need to buy this new thing. I need to buy this yeah. new thing. And it kind of ends up with people like feeling they need to buy more. And I really liked yeah. what you said about like brand's ethos, because like we talk about this in terms of, you know, our spirituality, and, you know, when I buy my crystals, I always look for ethical crystal sellers, mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to shop small local brands and things like, and it's the same with skincare. Like if you're shopping, or like if you think about fashion, for example, and you're shopping from a brand that claims to be eco-friendly, but they're still using a sweatshop somewhere
yeah.
in the world, then actually, is that really a brand ethos that you want to get behind? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think, as you say, it's about looking into, yeah, the packaging says it's vegan or it's all natural or cruelty-free, but actually, you know, what is the supply chain process for that? Like, are they getting their ingredients from, you know, are they fair trade ingredients if they're saying they're natural and organic, yeah. like all these kind of things, and looking mm. into that as well.
And the bigger the brand, you then have to start looking into what, like, it gets so complicated, because like a brand that sells in, for example, Britain, if they also sell in a company or in a country like China, for example, mm-hmm. who have very different laws around animal testing and how mm-hmm. things can be placed on the market, it makes it a very complicated issue. You then have brands who might have a parent company who still mm-hmm. test on animals, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, it's like, how deep is the ethos?
Yeah.
You know, people these days, they want transparency. They want brands to bring them things that are sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, for example, with my brand, I like to be as transparent as I can, and I always say when I'm doing updates and even when I'm curating the products and building formulas and choosing packaging, and I try and take people that kind of follow the socials on that journey with me and kind of share my thought processes and things, and I'm very kind of open about it. I say my kind of eco ethos is that I am always trying to make improvements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a blanket eco-friendly statement. There's multiple changes I've made, for example, within the business over the last kind of 2 and a bit years running it, that have been better environmental mm-hmm. choices, but it's things I've only been able to do as I've grown.
Yeah.
And that's something, like, again, it's just a little bit of transparency, and people appreciate that. People appreciate you saying, listen, I can't do it all, but mm-hmm. I'm determined to do my best, and I'll continue to keep trying to improve it.
Yeah,
and people appreciate honesty, but you don't always get that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that you also appreciate small brands. Like if you think of like a big corporate brand like L'Oreal, or I can't even remember if L'Oreal is the parent company or if they come under Estée Lauder now, like, you know, companies that have like, you know, millions and millions of pounds or dollars or whatever, and who are still not paying to use recyclable packaging and stuff like that. Whereas mm-hmm. a small brand that's trying to start out, and like you say, you see them making these changes as they go, mm-hmm. like it might not be financially viable for smaller brands to be, yeah. like you say, as eco-friendly upfront. But if you're committed to like making that change, and like you say, we're all human, we all learn and grow. I think mm-hmm. that's what people appreciate, yeah.
Definitely.
Rebecca, have you always been really interested in natural skincare?
I would say it did start from a young age, and I would definitely owe it to my kind of spiritual curiosity as a child. I've always been very kind of spiritual inclined, but it's always been kind of just out of reach. I could never quite learn the things that I wanted to learn. And then, long story short, when I was about 12, I started getting acne. Went through the full rigmarole of kind of dermatology, doctors, so many appointments over the years, so many medications, absolutely everything. And by the time I was about kind of, I can't remember exactly what age I was, but I was probably about 14 or 15, I basically started looking at how to try and change the way my skin was myself. At that time, I was looking to fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm using inverted commas? You can't see it, but I was trying to fix my skin. Mm-hmm. My perspective on that whole thing is entirely different now, but that is honestly what I was trying to do at the time. And I did start just exploring things that I could do myself, and kind of through that and the kind of spiritual side of things, and just learning about kind of older ways and like more natural ways, and just using different, I guess, the energies of different things as well. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part, obviously, of witchcraft. It's a huge part of, I guess, just the human experience. Mm-hmm. If you're honest, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because your products are all Reiki infused, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're like putting that energy into the products that you're making. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which absolutely, is amazing. Yeah.
I do love that. It's one of my kind of favorite aspects about the products, because, I loved the fact when I became Reiki certified, I was really excited about it, but I really held myself back and didn't actually do anything from a practitioner perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would now. I kind of have a lot on.
I'm coming at your house for Reiki now that I know that you're a Reiki.
I'll just send it over at your house.
Do it long distance.
Leave the couch. But yeah, and then I basically, because I'd been making skincare for myself for years, I basically, the first product I ever launched, Terabam, before I started the business, I had been making that for like 3-4 years at that point. My sister was asking me for tubs constantly, and I was infusing it with Reiki because I felt she needed it. I felt that it would benefit the product, and that just became kind of like the hard and fast rule. Anything I was making, I would put Reiki in it. And then that, for the first kind of year, I didn't really shout about it with the brand. And then I'd done a whole rebrand last year and was like, yeah, it's Reiki infused and it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should definitely charge extra for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I definitely do kind of own it a bit more now. I think there was kind of a few blocks for me to get through as a kind of brand owner, kind of putting myself and my brand out there. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I'm glad I got through them.
Absolutely. I think we've talked about this before, you know, identifying as a witch, and both Renee is already kind of on her spiritual business journey. It's definitely something that I'm going to be looking to start in the next few years. Is that worry? Are people going to think I'm really weird? Like, are people people aren't going to buy into this? Like, if I say it's Reiki infused, are they not going to buy it? Or
Some people won't, but some people will.
Yeah.
And those are your people.
The right people will.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I've never not been weird, so I'm cool with it.
To be honest, I've never actually had like a bad, I've never really had a bad interaction with anyone or a disheartening interaction with someone about it. I've never had anyone being like, oh, Reiki, what's that? Or like, oh, you know, like it's always been well received.
Rebecca, you mentioned, you know, that idea of fixing your skin. And I think that's a really interesting direction to go in. You know, that's definitely something I'm kind of struggling with, that balance right now of like accepting the changes that are happening on my face. Mm-hmm. But also like kind of feeling sad about those changes that are happening. Mm-hmm. Wondering if there's a way that I can quote fix it, or do I just have to get over it and like be grateful that, you know, I'm privileged enough to still be alive and have a face?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's such a tricky balance that I think so many people experience. What is that fine line of wanting to look good and like desperately and sadly trying to cling to your youth?
And I think you're right, when you kind of call it a fine line, it kind of almost is that. And it's complicated. I feel like I've said it's complicated a lot, but
it is.
It's so complex, isn't it? Because it comes from so many, again, as we said at the beginning, it comes from so many areas in our culture and in our society. So I think for me, it's like when I use the term fix, like when I was younger, my acne, my skin ruled my life. It dictated the clothes that I wore. I would not go out to my back garden to put out the bins without wearing makeup. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed of my face, my skin. I just had such an awful time with it, and it absolutely trashed my self-esteem and my confidence. And mm-hmm. I was very bubbly and kind of outspoken, and I was really quite probably annoying at points as a kid, you know, but it was almost that kind of bravado confidence, because mm-hmm. I was trying to deflect away from the fact I felt so insecure about how I presented myself to the world. Mm-hmm. And I did want to fix it. I wanted so badly to fix it. But as time's gone on, for example, I'm in the habit of saying mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. or I was in the habit of saying that. I do still have acne on my back. Mm-hmm. It is something that, like, my overall acne is really well managed now, but I do still have it on my back. And if you had told, like, even like 18-year-old me that I would have worn, that I wore a backless wedding dress, like mm-hmm. she would not have believed you. Mm-hmm. But it really is, it's not an overnight process. That's probably the first piece of advice that I can give you, is like coming to terms with it, I guess, is not an overnight thing, because you have this kind of resistance from everything else in the world, mm-hmm. you know. So it's, first of all, be gentle, try be gentle with yourself, because mm-hmm. it's a delicate process you're going through. At the end of the day, as much as obviously I do really advocate for kind of self-love and just accepting your body for what it does and what it is, there's still things that I struggle with my body and my skin, mm-hmm. That I am still very much taking myself through that journey. But I also don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to change them, or wanting to improve certain mm-hmm. or improve certain areas. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's more about the conversation that's going on inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also who you're doing it for as well.
Yeah, because I was going to say, in terms of like skincare, I had I seen this thing, or a reel on Instagram. It's from an account I love. She's an esthetician. Her name's Joanna Kenny, and she posts fantastic content, and she really challenges kind of like societal views of women. So like kind of body hair, lip hair, just so many aspects of it. And somebody had basically said that she was ruining the beauty industry by what she was doing. But it was like, the beauty industry will still thrive, and so will the skincare industry, because people will still want them, but they'll mm-hmm. just want them for different reasons mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. than what they're being sold just now. Mm-hmm. We need to change the conversation around beauty, and the conversation around how women should look. There's the invisible commas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because why should we look like anything? Like, why do we need a definition of beauty?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the issue, is that women are villainized either way. So you could say, I'm going to, there's literally fuck all that we can do without being slated for it.
You're so right. In our life.
So you either wear too much makeup mm-hmm. or you're weird because you don't wear makeup mm-hmm. or you've got bad skin and you don't want to cover that, or if you didn't wear as much makeup your skin would be better, and mm-hmm. there's just like, and you dye your gray hair, do you not want to grow gracefully? Oh my god, you've got gray hairs, are you not going to dye them? Like mm-hmm. it's like continuous criticism. Mm-hmm. You literally can't do anything right. And that, I think that's why, like, and it's the same in the kind of body positivity or even the body neutrality movement. Like mm-hmm. it's the same in like the when you're talking about body hair, like there's literally for women like no right answer. And I think that's why sometimes you just need to say fuck it and do whatever you want.
Like, that's it, and that's kind of what I try and live by now, because it's like, you can't win. Mm-hmm. You genuinely can't win. So dealing with everybody else's perceptions takes up so much energy mm-hmm. that I just try and enjoy existing, you mm-hmm. know. I just try and focus on enjoying being in my body and everything that it does for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's such a battle to get there, because you're against so much.
Yeah, that's it. It's definitely not easy. And I say that, I'm like, just fuck it, do whatever you want, as though I don't like criticize myself in the mirror and things like that. But something I noticed you'd posted the other day, and I absolutely loved watching this story, was when you talked about finding a gray hair.
Coven members mentioned that
you were so excited by this gray hair, and I was like, that is such a refreshing take to see, because I actually, someone even said to me the other week, because we were talking about getting our hair done and how often I get my hair done. I said, I don't ever do anything to my roots. I only get like balayage at the bottom. And the person went, well, like, what about your gray hairs? And I automatically went, I don't have any gray hairs. Like, I'm only 29.
Yeah.
And then I was also like, but also if I did, like, what would it matter? Like, why would I need to cover them? And, but like, even my reaction was like, I'm too young for gray hair. Like, but again, it's just hair.
It's just a process your body goes through as it ages. Like, obviously, as we kind of go on, things change in our bodies. You know, you kind of get to a certain age where there's like, well, I hear, I'm not quite there yet, but I hear you get to a certain age where you wake up and things, I knew something is sore every day. Yes, I hope that's not true.
That happens.
Oh, no. Okay. I only have a few years.
Sometimes it's because you fell over a pothole in a school playground, but other times it's just age. Yeah,
it's just, and that's something that we accept. Like, that's something, as we get older, we make jokes about it. Like, oh, like, I'm like, sometimes when I was in care, I would be in the car for like an hour at a time, just sat like on a break, and I'd try and get out, and I couldn't walk after. Like, oh, I'm so old. But it's like, it's only ever when it comes to looks that aging seems to be a problem. Obviously, apart from the other sadder things that come with age, obviously you can decline in health and all that sort of thing. But why do we focus on it? Like, just let people do what they want to do, you know?
Yeah, and I think it was really important what you said earlier, Renee, as well. Like, part of, like, you know, I've talked about this in the podcast, like, you know, this year I've really been focusing a lot more on it, and I know you do it, Rebecca and Renee, is to, like, have a gratitude practice. Like Caroline Hirons, that we were talking about earlier on, one of the things that she always says is growing old is a privilege that not everyone gets. And it's absolutely correct. Like, not everybody gets the chance to find their first gray hair and all these things, as difficult as that can be to think about the changes in your body, the changes in your looks. Like, I think sometimes having like a solid gratitude practice, like, I'm sitting here and my shoulder's like bothering me as we're sitting talking, but do you know what, I can still move freely, and you know, I might have like little lines under my eyes now, but do you know what, it's because I'm always laughing and smiling, and that's given me these lines. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's about, I think, trying to reframe those thoughts, and I'm not saying that that's an easy process, but even just starting small, even just making like a wee gratitude list about your aging process, or, you know, like, you know, all the good things are, you know, I'm going to turn 30 soon, so all of the good things I'm going to be able to do in my 30s that I maybe wasn't mature enough for in my 20s, or you know, all these types of things. And one of the things I'm grateful for in my 30s is that I can remember things from like 15 years ago. You know, when I was 20, I couldn't remember what I was doing 15 years ago because I was five. Whereas now I can remember what was happening 15 years ago. Like, so just having all of these memories, like, that you can look back on and stuff like that. So just finding that like gratitude for things too.
And even just in everything that your body does for you, because when it comes down to, I mean, obviously you'll get things like kind of premature aging and things, you'll get damaged skin that does have like fine lines and wrinkles, and it's down to damage rather than aging, you know. And I don't actually know if there's a difference between the two, to a point of one would behave differently than the other to certain skincare products. I don't know, I'll be honest. But at the end of the day, like you say about kind of like laughing and having smiles and stuff like that, I remember a few months ago I took a picture for the stories, and I was just genuinely smiling, and I noticed like how crinkled my eye was, and I thought, I don't know if I've ever noticed that before. And I was like, I look really happy, but I was like, is it a good sign of someone with a skincare company to have crinkles at the side of their face? And then I kind of smacked myself over the head, and I was like, listen to yourself. Like, this is why we have the company that we have, because we're not comfortable with this narrative and how women are taught to think this way, you know. So it does happen to everyone, and it is a constant thing where you're having to kind of keep yourself in check. But as you say, a gratitude list is, it keeps you on the path of appreciating your body and just appreciating the fact it's going through this process. It means nothing more than you've been around the sun, you know. Times and your body's showing signs of it, and it's okay.
Absolutely. Got a listener comment from Laura who said, I'm both ready and not ready for this, turning 39 next month, like, and then the melting face emoji. and I think that just fully captures like that feeling that we have about aging. Like, some days I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to be 30. This is going to be amazing. Like, I can't believe I'm 30. And some days I'm like, holy fuck, how has it been 30 years that I've been alive? Like, what on earth? Like, look at my wrinkles. Look at all this. Like, yeah, it's, there's so many mixed messages about how we should feel about these things, isn't there?
There is. And I think it's that, I think that's for me where it should be inward, you know, instead of, and it's, again, it's trying to distract yourself from everything that goes on outside and what all the other voices are saying and just focusing on you and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best way that I could probably frame it is try really hard to be your own friend through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I love that.
Yep, absolutely.
Society kind of feels and seems most of the time. And don't get me wrong, as you say, there's so many movements nowadays that there are so many conversations around this, like we're having today, which is positive. But we're kind of constantly shouting from the rooftops until we kind of see more substantial change.
This has been an absolutely amazing conversation. I feel like I should note that I'm not actually as obsessed with my wrinkles as keeping this conversation going has made it seem. But, you know, there are definitely things that I need to release around accepting my appearance and being more comfortable with that. Louise, what are you releasing this week?
So this week, I actually said this phrase earlier on in the podcast and I've just looked at the notes and gone, oh, I've already said that. I've written down not enough hours in the day. So the last week or so has been just very hectic for me and my family. We've had a lot of like personal stuff going on, which has meant we've been kind of like in and out of the house, going to lots of different places, visiting people and stuff like that. And it's just always felt like I'm just constantly moving on to the next thing. And then there's like a pile of background things, mostly like housework, dishes, laundry, that is just like piling up in the background. But when I come home from doing all of the other things, I cannot bring myself to like tackle the mountain of like life admin that's piling up in the background. It just feels, and then I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. And then, oh, I can't do it tomorrow because we're doing this podcast, right? I'll do it tomorrow, but actually then something else will come up tomorrow. All right, I'll do it on Saturday. But I've been working all week and I'm shattered and I don't want to do it on Saturday. So it just feels like there's just never, and then the next thing you know, it's Monday again and we're just, time is marching onwards.
I can feel my shoulders tensing as you're telling this story.
Yeah, that's how it's, and it's just felt, as you're saying, it's just like, it's not felt like overwhelming, but it's like an underlying tension. I think that's probably the best word for it. It's just like this undercurrent of like minor anxiety, which is fine because I quite often have overcurrents of major anxiety. So the minor undercurrent of minor anxiety is
totally doable.
It's manageable at this point in time, but there's just this, some, like, I just feel like I can't settle because I'm always thinking I've got something else to do. I've got all these things to do. I've got all these things to do. So it's hard.
I'm going to ask you a question that I hope will make it better, but might make it worse.
Excellent. Just do it. Why not?
Is there anyone you can ask for help?
That is a very good point. And actually, one of the things that I was really in my mind about was the massive pile of clean laundry that is just lying in my bedroom, and it was getting bigger and bigger because every time we wash laundry we just put it on that pile and then we rootle around in it like burrowing animals to find what we want to wear that day and then wash
I've
it. This has been going on for a while, so I was like, right, I need to do it tomorrow, need to do it tomorrow, need to. So this week I was like, I'm gonna do it this weekend, I'm going to do it this weekend. And on Tuesday night, yes, because it's Thursday today, Tuesday night I had to go out and visit someone, and when I came home my husband had put it all away. And I was like,
oh,
that it just like automatically just something lifted. It was just like a, oh right, okay, that's one less thing that I have to do this weekend, like that's something ticked off the to-do list. So I think you're probably right, I maybe just need to say like, can you do, and I did it tonight actually because I was on a webinar for work until like 6 p.m. and I was like, right, I'm gonna have to finish and put the dinner in and blah blah blah, but I was like, do you know what, I'm gonna actually just text my husband and see if he can put the dinner on instead, and he did. So yep, I need to ask for more help probably, or hire a maid. I don't know, one of the two. One of the two. Both. This is not an and or, but either or situation, sorry. So that is what I am releasing this week. What are you releasing this week, Renee?
I think in a slightly similar way, I've written never getting to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
So I am also super behind on stuff because I was at work for 5 entire days, like 24 hours a day.
Yep.
So all the stuff that I would usually do in the evenings couldn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was really tired at the weekend, so not a lot yet got done. And now we're to Thursday of the next week, and I'm still really behind and also pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when do I get like actual rest that feels like rest?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try to not worry about doing all of the things this weekend and go with my husband to take a walk in nature while he does some bird watching and not work.
That sounds good. And in our timeline, this will come out in 2 weeks' time, so we'll be past. But in our timeline, it's Beltane this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's both mine and my husband's and Rebecca and her husband's wedding anniversaries this weekend.
Oh,
we got married 2 days apart, either side of Beltane.
Amazing.
Yep. So a wee walk in nature would be good.
So I'm going to give myself a break.
Do it.
Rebecca, is there anything you're releasing this week?
To be honest, mine is kind of similar to you guys in terms of just how busy life is just now. I was kind of going to say kind of similar with Louise in terms of, but from a different perspective, like just trying not to feel, I'm trying to release the need of fulfilling every role all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I, as we kind of commented earlier on, obviously working full time, I've just come off a kind of 6 day stint at work. And to be honest, that doesn't happen all that often. It's because I needed the weekend off. So one of my best friends is getting married this year, we have our hen this weekend. So I've kind of done this like 6 days, tried to do whatever I can with Templeton in between. I've had all my content scheduled ready to go anyway. But then obviously I'm straight into kind of like, today I had to like dye my hair and do my eyebrows, and then tomorrow I have to do all these things to prepare for the weekend. And it's just that kind of things have just been constant for so many weeks now that you do sometimes just feel like, right, so when does it actually stop for a second? So I'm just trying to get better at being the stopper.
Yeah.
I guess the person that puts a stop to these things and say, well, I don't need to do and be all of these things 24/7. I physically can't. So if I need a day, I need a day. You know, and obviously there's some days you can't do that, but that is definitely what I'm trying to let go of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That can be so tricky to do when you're trying to run a business in addition to your full-time job, because, you know, that business that you're running on the side is something usually that you're really, really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the times when it doesn't feel like work, you know, your body's still in stress mode.
There's still energy going out. There's still, you're kind of utilizing thought. You're trying to come up with new ideas. You're trying to do the kind of day-to-day things that keep the business kind of going on. And then you're trying to kind of work on the things that grow them. Really, very much as a full-time job in itself.
Absolutely.
You know, and then fitting kind of time with my husband, time with like my mum, I have two sisters, time with my sisters, my niece and nephews, my friends. Mm-hmm. Time for myself, you know, it does kind of feel like you can just never fit it all in. Louise, when you said about the pile of washing, I was so relieved. I was like, oh my God, that has been my life for the last like 3 weeks or so. And it's just refreshing to know that other people are in situations where it's, I can obviously sympathize, but like it's because it doesn't feel nice, but it's nice to know it's not just us that have such busy lives that we do leave the washing for like 3 weeks and just pack our clothes out of it as we go, you know, because who has time to put washing away when you've got other things to be doing?
Absolutely. And you know, and it's so funny because, like, you know, you could tell me that story and I'd be like, oh, absolutely, like that's what life's like, but you don't offer yourself the same kindness you talked earlier about being your own friend through things. You never offer yourself the same like grace or kindness that you would offer to other people. So one of the things that I always say to the young people at school is like, what advice would you give a friend who is in this situation. Like, mm-hmm. if you, and my husband does it to me so all good. The time, and I hate it. He like turns it on me all the time. He's like, what would you say if I said that about myself? And I'm like,
yeah, that's the one line that my husband's learned from me as well. And I'm like, shut up. Maybe this is an opportunity for all of us and for any listeners who are feeling the same way to just give ourselves permission to press pause mm-hmm. on all the stuff for a little while and just yes. be in our amazing bodies with our amazing skin and do something that makes us feel awesome.
Yep.
Louise, what's making you feel awesome this week?
So something that I've noticed this week, and it might be your fault, Renee, because of the Seeking Beauty Challenge, or it might be just due to my like growing spirituality and being more aware.
Totally blame me. I'll take
it. Yep. I'm going to plug Renee's hashtag Seeking Beauty Challenge. I've noticed so many blossom trees mm-hmm. around, and I don't remember seeing that many blossoms. Like there's three right outside my house. I've lived in the street. I'm going to be 30 this year. 23 years now, so mm-hmm. I don't remember those. There's one in my neighbor's garden that has always been there, and then I don't remember the rest of them. So I'm like,
I mean, it takes a while for trees to grow, so chances are they've been there a while.
Yeah, they haven't grown in the last 2 years. Do you know what I mean? So they've obviously always been there, and I've just never noticed them. But like, even driving to work, there's a road that I have to drive along, and like the two sides of the road are separated by this like grassy embankment that's just lined with trees, and it's also filled with like daffodils just now, and they're all blossoming, and it is just so stunning. Like every time I see a blossom tree, it just like lights me up inside. And I'm trying not to take a picture of a blossom tree every single day for the sake of
I know, me too.
I'm trying to like be, because everyone's doing it as well. Like I'm trying to be a bit more unique.
But they're so damn beautiful. Also remember, Seeking Beauty Challenge is not a competition.
Yeah, I know. But they just are making me feel so. Every time I see a beautiful blue sky, beautiful sunny day and a lovely blossom tree, it just like just warms my little Beltane soul. Love it.
Yay, that was the whole point.
Yep, love it. What is making you feel awesome this week, Renee?
I struggle to think of something. My brain's been like soup. But on the bus on the way to and from, well, on the parts of the road that weren't super windy and made me want to puke, I started watching The Alienist. So this is not a new show, but it's on Netflix. It takes place in the late 19th century, and it's sort of a crime drama, costume crime drama. So it's about like people who studied basically like severe mental health disorders were called alienists because, you know, people who had these types of disorders were believed to be alienated from themselves.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So he's doing like psychological profiling on this serial killer, but that is like a very not accepted form of investigating a crime in the late 19th century.
Yeah.
Also, he has a female assistant, which is also not acceptable.
A scandal.
Yes. Played by Dakota Fanning.
Oh.
So it's very like dark and a bit, you know, grim and gory. But also just like a lot of fun and a good mystery and some, you know, good plot twists and great costumes.
Yeah, wait, I definitely thought it was going to be about aliens. So I'm really surprised to hear
it's not.
It's actually about mental health.
It's about serial killers.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's wild. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I love a good like crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
I might need to check that out.
Yeah, you should. It's on Netflix, so easy to get.
Absolutely. Rebecca, what is making you feel awesome this week?
Oh, this week. So my husband and I, as you say, it's our first wedding anniversary on Monday coming, which will have been 2 weeks in the past, I believe, from what you said before. So initially we had not really had a lot of conversation about the wedding anniversary. Again, we've been so busy. We didn't actually realise it was so soon.
Sneaks up like, on you, doesn't
next
it?
Week. It does. I still in my head thought I had like a couple of weeks, then I was like, wait, it's May next Tuesday or next Monday. And we basically had a quick chat yesterday and just spontaneously booked this adorable little yurt in Aberdeenshire. Nice. So it's like, it's just basically this like huge yurt thing on a lot. a loch that has like a little private hot tub and things, and it's just very us. It's got like a little stove inside, mm-hmm. and it's like you cook on the barbecue, and it's like just, it's very our style, and it was just so spontaneous. So I just feel so good that we've just decided, right, we're going to do it, and we're just going to have a couple nights away spontaneously, you know. So I'm feeling awesome about that.
Amazing. Hopefully that'll be a good chance for you to unplug and get some of that really good solid rest that feels nourishing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's how I'm still going just now, because I know that, mm-hmm. I now know that's coming, so I can just enjoy the hen night and then just go and enjoy my weekend away, and then that'll be me time to chill.
Yeah, that'll be a nice way to celebrate Beltane as well, being out in nature, staying in a yurt. That'll be, and you guys are into like kayaking and stuff, aren't you? Or just canoeing?
Yeah, well, we recently bought a canoe, and we're not really sports. We don't do sports. We don't. We love camping. I really enjoy walking. My husband doesn't enjoy the walking part. He just likes more. He likes more to get to the destination. I enjoy the walk, like a hike. But we've just decided, we've always dreamed of having a canoe since like our first year together. Mm-hmm. We were at Balmaha Beach, and we've always said since how cool it would be to have a canoe or a kayak. And this year we made our dreams come true and we bought a canoe.
Amazing. Fantastic.
It's so fun. So we're going to take that with us up on Sunday and Monday there and go out in our little loch and see how it goes.
That sounds amazing.
It'll be so fun.
That'll be so good. I know.
It's real good.
So good.
Right. Guys, if you have thoughts on skincare, on aging, on what the hell I should be doing about my wrinkles, and if you want to check out Temple de Luna and all the amazing products that they create, you can check us out, get in touch, send us an email at awesomeon20@gmail.com. You'll find show notes for this episode, including, of course, all the links to find out more about Rebecca and what she creates. That will be at awesomeon20.com/episode48. Rebecca, if people want to follow along with your journey, where can they find you?
So you can find us on, I say as it's just me, you can find me on Instagram. So it's at Temple de Luna HQ. And on Facebook, it's just Temple de Luna. I'm also on TikTok, and that is also just Temple de Luna. That's where you can find me.
Amazing.
And the website, templedeluna.com, you can find out all about everything there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they want to order some stuff from you, if I want to order some stuff from you, because I have only about half a jar of my moisturizer left, where would I go and what should I get?
Okay, so you would go to templedeluna.com, and I do have like a little pop-up for a newsletter as well, so if you fancy signing up. To be honest, I'm not hugely consistent with that, so I definitely don't spam. It's like 2 emails a year.
But loving the transparency.
Well, I'm really bad at keeping up with sending out emails.
Email marketing is so hard.
Yeah, it really is difficult. So I'm very inconsistent currently. But you can get a wee 10% off of your first order if you were to sign up for that. So I was thinking that the Mooncase cleanser might be good for you, because when you were talking about kind of how you feel your skin is quite tired, this is basically, it's the powdered cleanser that I was talking about earlier on, and it's got lots of ingredients that contain vitamin C in it, so it's really good for that kind of skin brightening, kind of instant. But I'll be honest, the glow you get after even just your first time using it is just crazy. It does, it just, your skin is just radiant after it. And yeah, it is really good for kind of helping with kind of tired looking skin, tired feeling skin as well, because again, a lot of that can just be from our kind of day-to-day, I don't know about you guys, I spend a lot of time doing this or that or touching my face, and you know, it is good for that as well. So that would be my recommendation for you.
That sounds magical. I love it.
And I think with that as well, obviously Louise did recommend the serum as well. I think it was the serum you meant, Louise, High Priestess wise. But again, it all depends on what you feel that you want for your skin. But in terms of kind of like skin brightness and things like that, the cleanser would do well.
And amazing. Rebecca's website is really good. It gives you all the different like benefits that you get from each of the products. You do loads of stuff on Instagram as well with the benefits of all the products and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you will not be short on information. You won't have to look hard to do your research, Renee, if you go to Rebecca's Instagram or website.
Yeah, it's just like wee easy bits where it's like skin benefits, and it just kind of tells you quickly what the skin benefits are, and then it goes into all the details about what actually does that bit. So it's quite quick to kind of see what you need.
I love that. I can't wait to do some skincare magic.
Yeah, do it.
I can't wait to hear what you think.
You can follow me on Instagram if you want to see how amazing my skin looks after I try Rebecca's products. Mm-hmm. I'm at Renee_AwesomeOn20.
I'm at Louise_AwesomeOn20.
Louise always has gorgeous skin, so get used to it.
Thank you. It's also just good genes. My mom has really good skin.
If you thought this episode was super cool and you want to leave us a rating and a review, if your podcast app allows for that, we would really appreciate it. It helps other people find the show. And we'd also love it if you'd tell your coven and get them all to listen, because we're changing the world and making it a better place to love your body. I don't know what I'm talking about.
A better place to love your face.
Oh, nice. That's much better.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. It's one of the things I've learned about myself is that I can do a good segue and one-liner on just by doing this podcast.
This is why we keep you around.
Yep. This is the only thing that I bring to this podcast. If you want to join our coven, you can catch us over on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/awesomeon20. You can subscribe to us from as little as £1 a month. That is, it's a freaking bargain, guys.
I bet you can't get any skincare products for £1.
I wouldn't say that you could probably get decent skincare products. Maybe like a lip balm. I don't know. I don't know. But if you're wanting glowing skin, you probably need to spend a little bit more than £1. But for £1, you will be inducted into the ICOA, the International Coven of Awesomeness. You get to join our super cool Instagram chat group with literally the most awesome people in the multiverse. They are so cool. We have such great chats. I just send stupid memes. It all works out for everybody. If you want to be extra awesome and extra super cool, you can subscribe at one of our higher tiers. You'll get all sorts of content like Moon Journal prompts, ad-free recipes, Patreon exclusive recipes, spells, rituals, the extra long version of this podcast where we go off the deep end about babies. And you can come along to our Facebook Live events where me and Renee talk shit and pull tarot cards. You can get a discount on all of Renee's Moon Magic products. You can join our book club.
It's an insane amount of content.
There's pretty much nothing you can't get by subscribing to our Patreon account. So you should just do it. We are at patreon.com/awesomeon20.
Rebecca, it has been such a joy to have you with us this week.
It's been so amazing.
Thank you guys again so much for having me. Honestly, it's been so good sitting down and having a real honest chat with you guys about it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I love it. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. They're very moist.